Hello and welcome to this brand new series, AI Unplugged, where we explore how AI is reshaping fintech and the way we do business. In today's world, commerce is fast, complex, and data heavy. Payments are no longer just records, but insights that guide decision making. This is why fintech providers are racing to build AI-led systems that deliver end-to-end solutions to businesses. In this series, we will discover what goes into creating a robust payment software infrastructure and how AI lays a solid foundation for it. In the last episode, we learned about the inception of SubPesa, from failures and rejections to a bold bet that set in motion a series of changes that finally led to an RBI payment aggregator license in June 2024. In this episode, we meet the man who gave shape to the CEO's vision. Meet Abhimanyu Jha, co-founder strategy and one of the key architects of SubPesa. Delighted to have you, Abhimanyu, here.
Delighted to be here, Gaurav.
You know, Abhimanyu, something about you as a person, interesting journey. I've had a best-selling novelist,
right.
Poet,
right.
Rapper, IIT, IIM, right. Then fintech. Tell us right. Something about it.
All right, so none of these, except for the fact that fintech wasn't, happened. They all happened by chance.
Mm-hmm.
The book came because I was trying to write something for quite some time. Two novels didn't pan out because they were pretty big. Then I decided to write something that will strike a chord with, let's say, the young people.
Mm-hmm.
Poet, suddenly one day I discovered about 12, 13 years back while walking the evening
mm-hmm.
that I could actually create songs in my head.
Oh, okay.
And then I started crooning on mobile and that's how it started. SubPesa, yeah. So this is my second stint as a founder. So previous to this, I founded an edutech company.
Mm.
We wanted to change education. Unfortunately, we realized education is more of a real estate business.
Mm-hmm.
But then fintech was very much on the plate because one of my friends from IMA, same batch, they were one of the founders of PayU. So I had a very clear picture that payments and fintech was going to be big in India.
You know, let's talk a little bit about your novel. For the benefit of our viewers,
right.
It was about the 2008 Mumbai attacks.
Correct, yeah.
And it was about the people trapped inside.
Right.
How does a fintech founder think about it?
All right, so, you know, they say that universe is made of stories,
mm-hmm.
right? And stories and mathematics, actually, which... And both the things are, in my opinion, you know, in some way gel together. Music, stories, mathematics. And I don't know, I close my eyes and, you know, you can visualize stories.
Mm.
So I don't see them as different. I mean, we have created a world where we have specialized too much, in my opinion.
Absolutely. And if you ask a guy from finance with a very strong finance background,
right.
you possibly hear right. that guy tell you that an Excel sheet is like poetry in motion. you know, let's talk a little bit about, you know, artificial intelligence, the
right.
area that you are currently in.
Right.
Carl Benz, of course, didn't create steel horses with right. engines inside them.
Right.
What does that mean for AI?
Oh, okay, so I use this line frequently because, you see, the last time something this radical came in the world vis-a-vis where technology is concerned was the Industrial Revolution.
Mm-hmm.
And therefore, I decided to take, as I said, that stories are one of the main ways in which you understand the world. So the story that immediately came to my mind was what happened when cars came?
Mm.
How did cars come?
Mm.
Before that, the mode of transport, what was it? Horses, right? So, when the Industrial Revolution happened, people did not take horses and made them into steel horses and try to put engines in it.
That's right.
So, this is called engineering, it's called form factor.
Mm-hmm.
So, when a new radical technology comes, the biggest mistake you can make is to continue with the same form factor.
That's right.
And AI, when you see this particular technology, it not only changes the form factor of engineering or, let's say, manufacturing, etc.
Mm.
I could immediately see the form factor of entire way businesses would work, organizations would work would change. And that is what we started doing in SubPesa. So it's a vision that the entire shape of things of the world, you know, each and everything, the form factor is going to change.
Yeah, but, you know, most companies and in the current day are adding AI to their existing processes.
Right.
And that is what we see as outsiders.
Right.
What's wrong with that?
It's the same thing as putting engines inside steel horses.
Right.
So you have taken that technology. You have not really thought about how it's going to change the world. You just want to make sure that your business is known that, okay, fine, AI is the hot word right now. AI is the trend right now. So I want to be in with the trend without really understanding what kind of radical technology has come and therefore how it is going to change everything.
Absolutely.
So just taking AI and putting it into your existing processes, and it has already been seen for the last 2-3 years that companies that are doing it are not be able to make proper utilize it.
You know, let's talk about the transformation in Sapesa that began and is now currently underway. And
yes.
You were, you know, in a situation to scale significantly. There were developers, there were products, and there was also a time frame and a schedule that probably you'd have kept in mind. And what we generally hear is that if you talk to anyone, and people would say, experts would say that, you know, it'll require 18 months with 50 people, etc., etc. But you kind of, in Sapesa, you kind of upended it and, you know, turned it on its head.
Right.
How did that happen?
So it started actually in 2024.
Mm-hmm.
And that's when I was doing something else. I was writing a fundamental book in mathematics. Again, related to, it is related to AI indirectly. So that is about how mathematics basically runs the universe. So it's called, it's a very famous question asked by a Nobel Prize winning physicist, Eugene Wigner. The unreasonable effectiveness of mathematics in the universe.
Mm.
Right. And while I wrote that book, entire book myself, because that was planned for a long time, I researched, I don't know, 1,500, 2,000 research papers on various physics, mathematics, you know, the entire AI, everything. And AI tools really helped me in figuring out the connections.
Mm.
If this is a research paper and if this is my insight here, are there other things out there which match the same patterns?
Mm-hmm.
And that's when I realized that people are using AI only as an assistant.
Mm.
And that's the wrong way to use it. The way you can, it's also a very good assistant, but periodically, you know, you can become its assistant. You can let it become the guru.
Mm.
So it's not only your student who is just does your bidding.
Mm.
It actually, in the right kind of space, in the right kind of situation, can act as your guru. And I named that later on Moneyball AI, based upon a movie called Moneyball.
Mm-hmm.
So in Sapesa, that's where we made the change.
Mm.
That we decided that AI tools have become so powerful. And here, one of the other things that I did was, you know, finding to talk about theory.
Mm.
But finally, to convince people, you have to turn it into something practical. So I took a challenge before the entire company. On 12th June, and I have never been a coder. I have never coded a single line in my life, you know, since my IMA days. Even that was in a classroom and I got a C grade in that class. And I told my company, see, in the next 3 days, with the help of AI, I'm going to build an entire application.
Mm.
And I'm going to show it to you that without writing a single line of code, without knowing how to write a single line of code, you can create an end-to-end application, a working functional application, very useful application, someone like me, who doesn't know how to code. And of course, I mean, that was an impossible thing then. I mean, it was impossible. And yet, in 3 days, that impossible thing was done. And the company, the entire company, we had a meeting. I had predicted I'll do it. 3 days later, I showed it.
Right.
And I showed the entire way. We had done things. I had done things. I made a PPT that was about 127 slides for that. And that convinced the company that something impossible has now happened because of a new technology, but you have to use it the right way.
Absolutely. Basically, you shrunk the time significantly and demonstrated it. And since you're talking about mathematics, what it of course does is mathematics teaches you lateral thinking, where, you know, there are many things between yes and no.
Right.
Just to give you an example, there is, if you ask someone that whether x plus y is equal to zero, does it have a solution? Normally, when we are, the way we are conditioned is that there will be no solutions because there are two variables and there's only one equation.
Right.
But there are actually infinite sets of solutions.
Correct, correct.
If x and y, for instance, are zero, or x and y are minus one, and that is what probably AI is now forcing people to think and enabling thinking on that level.
Yeah, it's called degrees of freedom, and you know, two variables, one equation, which means you have one more degree of freedom, and then, as you rightly said, there can be infinite solutions.
That's right. Yeah. So that is what AI is leading to. There are infinite sets of solutions probably which were unimaginable previously. But Kumar Manish told us his version, you know, about Sub-Paisa. What's yours, the flat, the failures, and that out of blue statement that would have come about?
Previously, I would say we were a regular company, right? We were a company that was doing well, that had a regular business. What it does is it tries to understand its market, right? It tries to build a product according to that market. It tries to build a proper go-to-market strategy that can connect those two things. And you can build a huge business like that. Mm-hmm. I mean, there are multiple billions, you know, so many billion-dollar businesses, I mean, multi-billion-dollar businesses that are plain and simple. They figure out a market, they've figured out a proper GTM strategy, and then, of course, they've figured out a product that or service that serves that market.
Right.
And we were able to do a good job in that, fairly good job, despite being a bootstrap company. We were able to create a very unique kind of strategy in partnership with banks. But I would say in the last year, last 6 months, we have changed from a regular business to a business or a company that has shown the world a path of how the future is going to take shape.
Mm-hmm.
And regarding that, in fact, each of the things that we already did 6 months, 8 months back, people are discovering now that those things are becoming big. Even, you know, you talk about the best people in the world, the Silicon Valley and the top people, they are talking the same thing. For example, 6 months back in June itself, we predicted that in software, there is a thing called IDE, Integrated Development Run, which software developers usually use. And there's something called CLI, Command Line Interface. And normally people use IDE for doing their work. CLI is used only in specific cases, you know, and there was a huge debate even before which IDE won over CLI. But we predicted that given the nature of AI, given how, and it also came from the experience that we had in June in creating software, that CLI is the way of the future.
Right.
Which was a very, very minority position. And now, 6 months later, that's
the majority
opinion. That's how the world is going.
So something that was imagined has now normalized.
Yeah. So we predicted the world.
Right.
So and we were probably one of the few companies in the world that predicted the world, you know, and therefore we are ahead of the world.
So, but when Kumar Manish told you about payments,
right?
How did you react?
Payments was where I could see the world was going. I mean, I am. It is about 2016, right?
Yeah.
So we are talking about not about AI, but we have gone back into the past.
Yeah.
Yeah. So payments was, I could see the future because the way the world was shaping at that point of time, and everything was offline, and things were moving online, and there was this gap where companies were either offline or they were online. And I mean, we could see that, you know, there was a place to bridge that gap where a company could, you know, offer at that point in time. Now we are totally changed, but we are talking about the past, that there was a place where a company could come and in partnership with banks, and Kumar had a very good idea how that thing could shape. So together, that this space was there where we could come, and there was a possible solution which banks already had, which we had to just scale up.
Right.
And Kumar knew precisely what that was. And together, therefore, you know, payments was the natural outcome. Not only just payments, but the fact that we could now talk about cover 100% of India, whether offline or online, and as a bridge.
You know, let's talk about a little bit about what's happening in India.
Right.
And in terms of real-time payment processes,
right.
India does the number of processings that takes place on a real-time basis in India
right.
is far higher than any other country.
Right.
What does that mean for India?
See, I will take an example which is related, not exactly this question. For example, we are currently doing something related to RBI, for example. RBI has launched something called CBDT.
Right.
Right. So you have an online solution. You have an offline solution brought by RBI. The online solution has programmability. The offline solution doesn't have it. And programmability is necessary for multiple things. Now, that's where we had an idea. Again, we pitched. Let's see whether that gets success or not. That, again, the same. That you bridge. You make the offline programmable. And now, therefore, you are able to cover the entire India, especially right. in situations like disaster, where you do not have online, where the normal channels of money, which is either online or ATMs, cash, etc., have any problem. Then now you have a solution which can work even in those kind of difficult situations. So our mind is always about how do you cover the entire universe? That's how.
And how would you describe SubPaisa? Is SubPaisa an Indian company for India, or is SubPaisa an Indian company for the world?
Previously, yes. As I said, that till up to last year, we were probably an Indian company for India. But when you lead the world in something like AI, which is the future, then you have to change your orientation. And now, what we are doing has to be, should be taken out to the entire world. I mean, if you're doing something good, you know, you should let the entire world also have a taste of it. So now we have shifted. Yeah.
And let's talk a little bit about agentic commerce.
Right.
You know, AI agents are making transactions autonomously.
Right.
Is SubPaisa building for that?
Yes. We have already started. In fact, as we said that, one thing we have had, especially we have seen come through in the last year, that we can to a certain extent see the future. So we can predict what's going to happen. And therefore, it was an obvious thing that very soon, the same Moneyball approach, agents will come that will become autonomous. So it is a direct chain from here to here. And therefore, we already started, you know, the same thing that you said that you did a major transformation. That same major transformation, we started the process of building for this new future which is coming, which you call agentic commerce. And we have something called Xchain.
Right.
And we have recently made other products that make that vision possible.
Now, how does Xchain and QuickPaisa evolve into that world?
See, again, it's not that you have done something entirely new. You imagine a situation, the same products where human beings are using it. And you see, okay, in the future, AI agents will be using it. So you have to make it programmable so that AI agents can use it. So the world will move from human beings interacting with software to APIs interacting with, you know, AI agents interacting through APIs. So, you know, it's a very, very direct line. If you know where the future is going, then you know the steps, the intermediate steps, then you need to build to get there. And that's what we did. So it's a very straightforward thing. You have now an autonomous agent. It can, you know, let's say you have to buy a product. Let's say I'm wearing this thing and I want to buy this. And this thing knows that I like this particular thing. This thing knows that sometime it will tear and I will need something new. And this thing, you know, I have already on my fold, in computer, on my fold, I have given it, you know, the pictures of multiple kinds of things I wear. Or it has, it even doesn't need to do that. It can see my social media and know the kind of things I like to wear. It knows me. And it can predict that this is a time when these things will, this is the normal cycle in which I buy new things.
Right.
And with that, with the it knows what I want, what kind of things I wear. It knows what is the cycle in which things will happen. And based on the cycle, it can automatically then search the web and find out where is the new product, nice one, the same thing like this, which Abhimanyu might wear.
Right.
And might should fit his price range. And then, you know, select it for you. And if you give the authority, which RBI needs to give, then it can buy it for you also.
Absolutely. Let's change tack a bit.
Right.
Let's talk about the next 500 million users.
Right.
And the kind of financialization that is taking place in the tier two, tier three and villages is quite remarkable.
Right.
But having said that, there is a massive barrier, and that barrier is of languages. There is a linguistic barrier.
Right.
Tell me something about voice banking and regional languages. How does someone in a village actually end up using SAP-PESA without actually knowing it?
Actually, it's very simple. Again, with the help of AI, you don't have a language barrier anymore.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, now with the click of a button, you can make your product multilingual.
Mm-hmm.
Voice is coming in like anything, right? So, very soon, you know, you did not even know SAP-PESA. SAP-PESA will act as an invisible. Let's say we are bank partners. We are already working with multiple banks. We already have products in the market where you are probably using SAP-PESA. I will not even say the future without knowing you are using SAP-PESA. So that is not a future. That is the present. And with voice AI, with multilinguality, I mean, this is what you're talking about is the present. And I'm sure not only us and the multiple companies which are giving APIs, which are making payments possible currently, that where the company is probably invisible and you're acting it to some other brand, like a bank, and you're using their service.
Absolutely. You know, you said, Abhimanyu, you said that you were doing original research in AI.
Yeah.
Tell us something about it.
All right. So this is connected to the book I talked about.
Mm-hmm.
So in that book, you understand that mathematics runs the universe.
Mm.
Right. And what we call as mathematics, human beings call as mathematics, is something which we have invented through symbols.
Right.
But universe also does its own mathematics. It just doesn't use the symbols.
Mm.
All right. And my research, which I'm going to publish a paper soon, shows that AI is actually using the mathematics of the universe. I mean, to call it AI is actually a wrong thing. It's not AI. It's not artificial. There's nothing artificial about it.
Mm.
It's the universe, the intelligence of the universe that's behind AI.
Mm.
And intelligence in the entire universe, whether it's AI, human, alien, anywhere, follows the same laws. The learning laws which human brain follows, exactly the same equation AI also follows.
Mm-hmm.
And any intelligent being anywhere in the universe will follow. Even if there are aliens out there, they are going to follow the same laws of equation.
Mm-hmm.
Laws of physics. And learning is a physics thing.
Right.
It doesn't change for any entity.
Mm.
So that is a published, and that will be, hopefully, a breakthrough paper, because I don't think any, even the topmost labs in the world, anyone has.
Yeah, I know. All the best for that, and many congratulations. And
thank you.
Final questions, you know, let's look into the crystal ball and gaze into it. And
right.
Let me ask you something about where do you see SAP-PESA going from here? What's your vision 5 years from now? Where is SAP-PESA? What does the scale look like?
All right, I'll divide that question into two parts, because one thing I just wanted to talk about was AI is like a storm. And a storm, as of now, that you can see increasing in intensity, and you are flying a kite in it. Now, it's pretty foolish to predict where you're, I mean, if it's a nice weather, you can very much predict, you know, if you're flying a kite, where your kite will be, because it will, you know, you can take it wherever you want it.
Correct.
In a storm, it's not very advisable to do that. You are most likely to predict wrongly. So, in general, if anyone is making any prediction anywhere in the world right now, I would not advise them to make predictions beyond 1 year.
Mm.
Even 1 year is becoming too much.
Mm.
You know, as we said, 1 year before where AI was and what we could do, whatever we have done in SAP-PESA, it wasn't possible 1 year before. Wasn't possible. It was impossible.
Mm.
It became possible about 6 to 7 months back.
Mm.
And then today, things have even changed more.
Mm.
Today, things that were not possible 6, 7 months back are possible today. There's something called Claude Bot, which is in viral right now. If you are following AI, you would know. It is doing things, I mean, which are really surprising people. And this has happened just in the last month.
Mm.
So that's one thing. Ideally, with regards to AI, it's advisable not to make predictions. But with SAP-PESA, you can do.
Yeah.
So with SAP-PESA, as we said, we are a company which is in a way right now leading the world in a specific space. We said we are in India, but we no more are restricted to India. The things that we are doing, we have built products in, you know, the exchange that you talked about. Then we have built products in settlements, etc., in banking, etc., that are world class, and we intend to take it to the entire world. So we want, our vision is in the next 5 years, where AI will take us, we don't know, because, you know, it might, the world might change a lot in the next 5 years. But however it changes, we cannot predict it. There's a storm out there. But we will be able to predict and move along with the storm.
Absolutely.
Very and well. Therefore, you know, that will be the vision for 5 years.
That's absolutely very well said. Thanks, Abhimanyu, for sharing your deep insights and perspectives and taking the time out and dropping by to have this conversation with us.
My pleasure.
We wish you and the team at SubPaisa many more milestones ahead. So that was a story of how a bootstrapped fintech startup went on to challenge giants and even outpace them with an AI-native strategy. Two founders, a wager and a vision. A team and the faith that held them. An unshakable partnership that built products in weeks, not months. For them, the once impossible is now routine. SubPaisa shows that when AI underpins a payment system, the returns compound, and even bold bet starts to pay dividends.